Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
No, did that one. We're in 30. Oh, start from 35. And you haven't chanted yet.
No, we're only trying to get
it. Oh, yeah, let's start then from 35. I thought, we've done all those verses. Yeah, let's do from 35.
From 35?
Sure. Okay. Whatever you usually do.
Shrayan Swadharmo Vigunaha
Paradharma Svanushtita
Paradharma Svanushtita
Swadharme Nidhanam Shreyaha
Swadharme Nidhanam Shreyaha
Paradharmo Bhayavaha
Paradharmo Bhayavaha
Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Atakena prayuktoyam.
Atakena prayuktoyam.
Papam charati purushaha.
Papam charati purushaha.
Anicchannapi varshneya.
Anicchannapi varshneya.
Balat iva niyojitaha.
Balat iva niyojitaha.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha.
Kama esha krodha eshaha.
Kama esha krodha eshaha.
Rajoguna samudbhavaha.
Rajoguna samudbhavaha. Mahashano Mahapatma Vidyenam Iha Vairinam.
Next one.
Dhumena Vriyate Vannihi.
Yathadarsho Malena Cha.
Yathadarsho Malena Cha.
Yathol Bena Vrto Garbha.
Yathol Bena Vrto Garbha.
Tatha Tene Dama Vrtam.
Tatha Tene Dama Vrtam.
Dumena Avriyate Vannihi. All right. Sorry. Okay. Dumena avriyate vannihi yatha adarshaha malena cha. Yatha ulbena avritaha garbaha tatha tena idam avritam. This is a really famous verse. It says, Dumena avriyate vannihi. Vannihi is fire. The fire, yata, that yata. So, dumena avriyate vannihi yata. Just as fire is covered by smoke, duma is smoke. So, dumena avritaha covered vannihi. So, just like fire is covered by smoke. And then, again, the yata carries over. Yata adarshaha mulena cha. And, the cha, and, just as a mere adarsha. Just as a mirror is covered by dirt, mala. So, then yatha ulbena avritaha garbaha. know, just as a fetus is covered by the womb, ubena avritah garbha, tatha tena idam avritam, like that avritam, similarly tatha, this is covered by that. So what is this and what is that? So this is covered by that means, in fact, Shankara's introduction to the next verse says, what do they mean by this and that? So this is covered by that means this one's jnanam, one's knowledge is covered by kama, just as fire is covered by dhuma, or just as a mirror is by smoke, or just as a mirror is covered by dirt, or just as a fetus is covered by the womb, you know, or actually it's by the afterbirth. So, like that's covering, dina's a cover. So, so let's do the next verse. These two go together really.
Avritam jnana metena,
jnanino nitya vairina,
kama rupena kanteya,
dushpurena nalena cha.
Avritam jnanam etena, jnaninaha nityavairina, kamarupena kanteya, dushpurena analena cha. So here he says, jnanam, avritam. So avritam is from the previous verse, three times. There's avritam, jnanam. Jnanam is covered, one's knowledge, avritam is covered, etena, by this. Now it'll also say what this is, by this. By this which is jnaninaha, for the jnanis, for the ones who have knowledge, atmajnanam, it is nityavairina, it is always an enemy. For the jnani or for the wise person, these kamas are always, nitya means always, but it is always an enemy. What is always an enemy for the jnanis? Kamarupena he kanteya, dushparena analena cha. That which is, going backwards, analena. We talked about this word before. Analena means fire, anala. But fire, it means it because na alam, it is never enough. That which is never at any time enough. In other words, the fire you have to keep, it's never satisfied. See, anala, it's never satisfied. You always have to keep feeding it. So it's a word that we use for desire. So that which is insatiable is anala. And dushparena means pur, comes from the root pra, which means to fill up. So dush means very hard, difficult, very difficult to fill up, to say, okay, now I'm satiated, I've had enough, I'm full, I'm complete. It's like the, if you think of filling up a glass with water, so you're filling up with the water, but then the glass keeps growing. As you're filling it up, it keeps growing. You can never reach the top of it. And so like that with kama, it's not as though kama, desire itself, ever comes to an end. It's absolutely insatiable. It's the kama itself that needs to be fed. And the reason that the kama needs to be fed is because the kama, the desire itself, is based upon one's own sense, one's own experience of incompleteness, one's own experience of needing something to become full. And if I'm feeling that I need something to become whole, I need something to become complete, then the source of that problem has nothing to do with the objects in the world. The objects are not, you know, gaining, satisfying my desires. are not going to get rid of that fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is that I'm projecting the ananda of myself onto the world, and then I'm trying to, then by wherever it lands, by fulfilling that desire, because as soon as it's projected, I have a desire for that, whatever is shining, then I'm going after that in order to fill, you know, and to fill up that feeling of lack, that feeling of incompleteness. But the feeling of incompleteness has to do with self-ignorance, not with the fulfillment of desire. So the fulfillment of desire, the raga dvesha, which is kama, is a product. It's actually a product of self-ignorance. The self-ignorance is a product for the ahankara, right? That I notion. So the I notion comes, means I notion means instead of my knowing myself, myself is taken to be the body, mind, sense organs because of the sukshma sharira, because of the subtle body, because the five sense organs pervade this body, because the mind, as long as the vritti is there, the mind enjoys consciousness, the sense organs pervade the body and then look outward. So this is my sthanam, you know. This is where I'm like the even called the dehi. I am the one who indwells this body, which I do. I'm not indwelling the universe from the standpoint of the sukshma sharira. The subtle body is what gives consciousness, being, existence to this body, so it can say, I am an existent conscious being. I can say that about my mind, I am an existent conscious being. I experience ananda. Nobody's without the experience of ananda. But when I experience that ananda, or that wholeness, or that love, and what goes along with it is, oh, this is what I want, this is me, this is what I want, this is how I am supposed to be. And there are many different ways that we have for giving us this temporary experience, but the one that is shared by everyone is that when I fulfill a desire, right, I get that experience of myself as though. It's a vritti becomes like a clean mirror reflecting me, and so that for this time being, for this moment, everything is fine. This is how it's supposed to be. This is who I am. But the problem is that I don't know that this is me. I don't know, let me put it this way, I don't know that my being, this the ananda, is the source of that shantavritti. I think that the object of desire is the source of the shantavritti. And so because that illusion is there, right? I fulfill a desire, you know, even though I have to suffer a lot along the way, I still, when I fulfill the desire, I get that sense of myself. And so then what is the natural logical conclusion? When I fulfill my desires, I feel at home with myself. And so that's kind of the gasoline that keeps me running after the creation. This and that, whatever is shining, whatever shines, whatever lights itself up because of whatever raga dveshas are coming up from my unconscious, all of a sudden it lands on this, it lands on that, it lands on that. That's what I know to go after. Until I start to gain knowledge and I get the recognition that actually the ananda is not there, it is here. The shantavritti does not really depend, my having a shantavritti so that my mind feels happy, you know, does not really depend upon the fulfillment of a desire, it depends on the lack of desire. It depends on the lack of desire. But how can I have a lack of desire unless I am full, right? Unless I feel all is well with me. The only way I can have a lack of desire, or those desires can become binding, is when a non-binding is when my buddhi, when I gain that knowledge and discover the very source of the ananda to be my being. Then these desires become something that are just, in a sense, if they're non-binding, they're fine. They can give me direction and what I feel like doing, what I should follow my desires if they're healthy and useful, as long as they're non-binding, you know, otherwise, you know, I don't have any impetus to do anything, which is also fine. It's also fine to not have any impetus to do anything. What about if I just, what I want to do is be here? See, if I say I have no impetus to do anything, why is that? Well, because I want to be here. I want to be here. That's my impetus. That's my desire. My desire is to be here. If I had another desire, then I would be perhaps following that if it was in my best interests, you know, and it is non-binding. But what about my desire just to be here, just to be with myself? The buddhi, what about when the buddhi just wants to be with ananda itself? It doesn't want to have to do this circuitous route. Let me fulfill this desire, let me fulfill this desire so that I can get a shantavritti, so that I can be with myself. But I'm already here, and my mind is not away from me. So what if my mind just wants to be with the ananda directly? Let me just sit with myself, and let me enjoy this creation as Ishvara. Let Ishvara take care of the raga dveshas. Let Ishvara take care of the prarabdha. Honestly, the prarabdha karma happens anyway. It's going to happen anyway. So what if I just am happy with the prarabdha karma? You know, I'm happy with this. I'm happy being here. I'm happy being with myself. I'm glad Bhagavan is taking care of all of this so I don't have to worry about it. You know, so then I can just enjoy. I can enjoy my life. That's what I want to do. Okay, so that's my raga. That's what I want to do. I just want to be here with my knowledge, enjoy my life, enjoy Ishvara. Let the life unfold, let Ishvara unfold. Let me see what my responsibility is in this play that we find ourselves in. So this is my play, this is my part in this play. Let me enjoy, let me have a nice time doing that and just dealing with all of the salt and pepper. It's all of the salt and pepper means all of the spicy situations that come up. You know, some have a little bit more pepper, some have a little bit of salt, some have a little bit of sugar, you know. Whatever it is, it's fine. Let me enjoy being with Bhagavan. That's what it amounts to. Being with myself, enjoying Ishvara, that's what I want to do. That's a resolution of desire. It's a resolution of desire into what actually is. It's a resolution of desire into, a fulfillment of desire into the reality of my situation, into the reality of all experience, because what is the reality of all experience is that I am the Satchitatma, you know, which is Ishvara, which is itself Ishvara, which is Brahman, from which this whole creation comes, you know, and is sustained and resolved. So I get to have this body with these sense organs, with this mind, walking through myself. I'm walking through myself because you are Ishvara. You know, this body, mind, sense organs belongs to Ishvara. It's here because of really beginningless ajnanam. But with or without beginningless worrying about the ajnanam, you have taken this body and you've had beginningless bodies, but now you get to actually know what's going on. So knowing what's going on, you get to be here. To be here enjoying yourself. And getting to actually experience Bhagavan, to experience Ishvara, to experience this Maya Upadhi. So that becomes your ananda. Your ananda is enjoying yourself and enjoying Ishvara. And the raga dveshas are just kind of like, they're a nuisance in a way. You don't have to look at them as a nuisance, but they are a nuisance if they're binding. If they're binding, that means somehow I've projected my ananda there and I kind of, it can be very subtle. You've projected your ananda onto this object or this very situation, whatever it happens to be that you have a desire for. And then to the degree that is binding, you know, the little, you know, they become like little mosquitoes, what your mind is doing around that. It's like a little mosquito. You know, and the mosquito becomes bigger and bigger, you know, depending upon how invested you are in whatever the situation, person, etc. may be, how invested you are in having that come true, that raga, that desire actually manifests. To the degree that you're committed to that I need that, it translates as I need that for my happiness, to that degree I have agitations, right? Big, small, little, whatever they are, the agitations are coming up. Those agitations that are coming up are caused simply by kama, raga, dvesha, that are binding. So now in this first verse he says, these kamas that come up, that are coming up, that have even the slightest lesha, means the slightest little scent of being binding, as they come up, they're a little disturbance in the mind. You know, because all of a sudden, because by the very nature of kama is, I want this. If it comes up as non-binding, or if as it comes up, you convert it into non-binding, that's fine. That's bhagavan. It's no problem at all, actually. It comes up, it creates its little disturbance, and you let it go. That type of a raga is like smoke. You know, when the fire is there and it's emitting smoke, and the smoke tends to, you know, cover over your jnanam by producing these little agitations around that desired object. But it's so easy to, you know, clear the smoke. So Swamiji will say, you just blow it away. Little tiny bit of vichara. Little tiny bit of bringing your knowledge into place. It's just fine. Let it go. Why? Why should I let it go? There's no reason to let it go unless you feel the mosquitoes, you know, unless you feel kind of the pressure or the agitation starting. Then you should realize what it is. It's kama, that's all. It's just kama. It's raga dvesha, you know, which is all of a sudden you're invested in a future event or wanting this event to be just a little different, or this person, you know, who is fine, but now you wish that person would be just a little different. You might have to say, I don't need that event to be different. I don't need that person to be different. I don't need this situation to be different. It is fine. I'll just deal with it as it is. It's fine. Okay, gone. Just a little tiny, to even 30 seconds of vichara, you know, can blow that smoke away. But then some of the ragas are not like smoke on fire. They're like raga dvesha, always raga dvesha. Any kama, there's a positive and negative, right? What you love and want, what you don't want. That's also a kama. It's also a desire. So sometimes it's not like blowing the smoke away. It's like having to clean the mirror. Say, you imagine a mirror, and the mirror is kind of covered with grime, okay? So I say, you say to them, oh, look, the mirror is covered with grime. Nothing happens. And you realize, no, that's not good enough, okay? I have to actually get out a rag and some water, and I have to really, really clean this mirror, you know, to get it shiny and clean and bright again, so I can just be with myself. Okay, so what's the clean? What are the cleaning instruments here? It's a little bit more, vichara, you know? It's a little bit more dhamma, where I decide that I have to bring in, you know, the shama dhamma. Let's use shama dhamma for a minute. In the first one, shama is enough. Shama means I have so much freedom to dismiss that desire. The kama has come, the raga dvesha has come. Now you have to go back to what we covered yesterday. Kama, the kamas, the raga dveshas, they come. They come from the unconscious. You can't decide, I'm going to have a desire for this. It's not like that. Let me have these desires. What if you got to pick your desires? I'll have this set of desires, please. And then the dveshas, I'll have this set of dveshas. We don't get to pick like that. They come up. Just like all of your thoughts, all of your moods, your emotions, they rise up. You can't decide, I'm not going to... Remember about the eggplant. You know, I can't control that. We're not supposed to control it. That's not the issue. They are there. The issue is, are they in my hands or am I in their hands? And so with some of these kamas that are causing, you know, disturbance for me, they're really in my hands. They're just smoke coming up. They're just not physical, really. They haven't settled in. They're not like the mirror with the dirt. They're like smoke. And with their smoke, when those rise up, I can just have shama. Shama means that it's up to me to entertain that thought or not, or entertain that raga or not. It's totally up to me. I can say, no, it can go. That's all. So we have many thoughts, many little desires like that. They don't cause any problem. They come up, you can feel it. No, I don't want to go there. You can go. There's others that are more, take a little bit more work than that. It takes some discipline, for instance, where it's not just a matter then of shama. It's a matter of dhamma. In fact, the dhamma, the desire comes up, and then it's not like you realize that's not the best for you and you can let it go. No, you have to use some control, you know. One of the examples, which I think is a great example, especially for jnanis, because for jnanis, you don't really go out and do all of these things. You don't care about most things, but food is another issue. We all love food. It's one of the big sukkas, you know. You love the food. So here would be where you know, food is something that's wonderful. People love to have good food and all of that. And so you overeat. You know? Like when that Swamiji uses the joke, you know, like when you're full, but this is so good, you know. It's so good. And now they're coming with another helping. You know? You're absolutely full, you know. And so then your mind will go, wow. I would like to have another helping. And then another part of your mind goes, it's really not good for you. You're already full. Let it go. The Dhamma comes in, where Swamiji says like this, no, no, with a big loud no. And he was laughing when he tells this story. It's so funny because in India, we all would eat on these banana leaves, you know? So we'd all be sitting in a row on these banana, and especially with these bhikshas where they bring all this kind of delicious food and they have like 10 different servings. And then they're coming along continually with buckets of this food, you know? Because there'd be like 100 people at the bhiksha. So we'll be sitting there and they'll come in and they want you to eat to your heart's content, you know? And so they don't... They want to give you that food, you know, and so they're coming with the bucket. You've already been eating, you're already absolutely stuffed, and you really, even if you're so stuffed that you really don't, you cannot eat anymore. You can't, okay? So then you're going like this, no, with your hands like this as they're coming, no, no, no. That's what you have to do, because sometimes it even lands on your hands. That's how much they want to give it to you. So the thing is, that's India. That's a big show. Yeah. So we have to be able to use Dhamma for simple things like that, where your health, there's certain things you don't want to do, but you need to do them, you know? And so then you have to insist, because it's not like just blowing it away, you know? It's for your health, the amount of exercise you do, you know, how you take care of your teeth, all of these type of things, just bodily functions. There's things that you need to do. And sometimes you do those things that need to be done for your own wealth, but you have a certain dvesha. The dvesha comes up, like say you want to do, you do your yoga, and you have a relatively good practice. And you know that it's good for you, and you know how it makes you feel and how much energy and health it gives to the body. But then some days, you know, it's time to do your yoga, and you know, your mind just goes, no, not today. You don't want to. That's a dvesha. You know, it's mild, and it's, you know, but it's the desire in a negative form. No, I don't want to. And then depending upon your buddhi and the dhamma and your value system, your buddhi has to come in and say, I know you don't want to, but we're going to do it because it's good for you, you know? And the mind might go, I'm so tired. No, we're going to do it. You will feel much better. We are going to do it. That's the rule. That's our rule. We're going to do it. And so then you say, oh, okay, okay. That's cleaning the mirror. It's not just saying, you know, it's good for you. Let's do it. That's the smoke. Let's do it. Cleaning the mirror is, no, this is what we need to do. I know you don't want to do it, but this is what is best for you. No, you can't have that help extra helping of food because it's really not good for you. No, I know how much you enjoy gossip, but gossip, you know, you want to gossip? No, we're not going to do that. In fact, I think what we should do is practice mounam, because that will help you to learn how not to just go along with your speech. And so that's still also cleaning the mirror. Dhamma, you're putting some restrictions on your raga dvesha. No, you're going to do this. No, you're not. So the dveshas are really, you have to look at dveshas as, it really helps in terms of doing your inner work. The dveshas themselves are kamas. I want to do this, not this, but maybe this is what you need to do. So your mind has to have that dhamma to kind of take back control of that raga or dvesha and then do what needs to be done. It takes some discipline. And then there's the other one, the third one, which is quite a bit different. This one is like a fetus in a womb. And you know, there's not much you can do about that. You have to give that time. And so a lot of the, when I think about those type of things, that such binding desires like that, really, really wanting something that is being thwarted, because it's not, this isn't an immediate situation. It's something that you're living with. So what happens often there is something that you want or wanted is being thwarted. Because we're talking about time now. You have to wait for that fetus to be born to really be able to deal with it. Means you can't do much about it right away. Sometimes you have to be really patient. And the thing that I think is in our relationships or in our broken relationships, which bring up so many emotions, you know, you don't have immediate control over that. You know, there's like an abiding dvesha, frustration or anger or hurt, that you can't just say, go away, you know, we don't need you, or that's not the right way to be. What if you say to that, that's something that's a big hurt like that, you say, no, you can't feel that way. That's an illegitimate way to feel. Let's just do mounam to our mind, okay? It doesn't really work. Sometimes you have to hold things and be patient. You know, you have to wait for, certain things to resolve, because there's time involved in healing some of those wounds or realizing that a desire that you have is not going to work out. You have a desire, there's something that you want to do, it's continually being thwarted, and you continually keep trying to make it work. I was kind of like that with the stock market. It wasn't really, that was one of those desires that it's somebody else's desire, it's not me, nothing supported it at all. You know, my friends were doing it. I must have had a past life, brought it over from my past life or something. So I was doing it and doing it and doing it, you know, and in the end, you know, as most people do, but I, including me, I completely lost everything. I didn't have very much to lose, but everything I did have, I lost. And I tried in this way, I tried in this way, it was nope. Tried in this way, no. Tried in this way, no, not working. Tried in this way, no, not working. Finally, I said, okay, it's not working. That raga was resolved. It took some time. You know, like if I would have said at the beginning, that's a raga, you know, it's not good for you, you know, it's really even not who you are. Don't get involved in it. I would have just totally blown it off. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. Took some time. So some of these are big, you know. Some of the dvesha, somebody hurts you terribly or betrays you in some way. You have a dvesha, your mind keeps feeding that dvesha. And you say, don't feel that way. Sorry. What do you mean, don't feel that way? Then But as that goes on, you start not wanting to feel that way. That's the thing. It has to burn itself out. Sometimes you have to be patient. You have to let the thing burn out. And then you yourself decide you don't want your psyche to take up that dvesha, to take up that much real estate in your psyche. It's taking up all this real estate, and this other person is running around and having a good time. And I'm still struggling, you know, with all of these emotions and all of these feelings. And after some time, you're able to let it go and then have some control over it. That's why these desires, some of them are so simple, you know. Some of them need a little bit of work. Some of them you have to be patient. You have to give a lot of love and patience and understanding and let that thing, you know, in light of your knowledge and who you are, let that thing go through its own process, and that requires some patience. So these are the different ways at beginning with that Bhagavan is saying, you know, this is how desires are. This is small, medium, and large. They come in these different strengths. But whatever strength they are, when they are there for that moment, they are covering a raga or dvesha. It's covering over your jnanam, the knowledge, your knowledge, your wisdom for jnani. Your knowledge, your wisdom, all that you know is by this rising kama, it as though gives a little covering, a little covering that you can blow off. Because I am the ananda. There is no ananda out here. I am the ananda. And so by the mere fact that I want this in any type of binding way, it's just a little piece of, it's like a little chip of ajnanam arising, you know, which I can blow off, no problem. But bigger chips come up, you know, that are more tenacious. But they're coming up, and as they come up, who I am, what I am, all of my value systems also can be compromised depending on how much it is. So he says, these ragas for jnani are nitya, he says, nitya vairina. They are always enemies. And enemies means, like we look at, enemy is a big word, but enemy means something that I don't want, is not my friend. The kama is not my friend in the sense that I don't, because kama wants to rule me, you know. So I don't want to be ruled by kama. I don't want my jnanam to be covered. And so I want to, if the kama is in my hands, it's a non-binding desire, I can think it over and I have the freedom to decide, do I want to go this way with that or that way? Then it's fine. It's non-binding. It's in my hands. Reminds me of in Dakshinamurti, the Dakshinamurti Murti, the Murti itself. He has his foot, he's sitting in his, you know, his lotus position, but his foot is down here, sitting on the, what's his name? Dhyapaswara, yeah, has his foot, that's the ahankara, you know, sitting there, the ahankara with his foot sitting, holding that nicely, you know, the ahankara nicely with his foot. And this, the apaswara, he's looking like this. because it's Bhagavan after all, you know, and so Bhagavan is holding him nicely in check. So that's how you have to be with the kama, the raga dvesha heps has to be like that little apasmara. You're holding him in your hands, you know, you can, and so then that's all, he's all completely taken care of. He's with you, he's with your own being, with the ananda, and so he can just rest there as long as you are holding him. If you're holding him like Bhagavan, like wouldn't you love to have Bhagavan's little foot just resting on your back, gently, just gently resting on your back, saying, it's okay, you just keep quiet now. Keep quiet, it'll all be fine. So like that, that's fine when these raga dveshas are in my hands. If they're not in my hands, they're an enemy. They're an enemy because they take away my jnanam, they take away my wisdom, they take away the value system, everything. It's just covered. That's the strength of this kama raga dvesha. And so he says, this your knowledge being covered by this karma, which is insatiable, insatiable, and you can't fill up. Oh, let me just keep filling myself up with these karmas, but that never happens. You know, you have this one, you fill it up, fill, nothing's happening. You're never filled up, and so it's totally insatiable. So this insatiable fire in the form of karma. So it says kama rupena, dushparena, analena. These insatiable karmas, those are, you know, always inimical and an enemy to the jnani. I didn't want those, so let them always be in my hand. So when a karma is there, then I can make a decision about them. Okay, let's do this next verse. This is the therefore verse. Okay.
Indriyani mano buddhihi. Asya adhishtana mucchate. Etair vimohayat yeshaha. Jnanamavritya dehinam.
So Shankara in his in his little commentary, his introduction, he says, what is the adhishtana for karma? Means where is the karma itself located? Where is it located? How can I find it? Where do we find the karma? He says this karma, which is an enemy for everyone. He says the vairi sarvasya lokasya. It's for all people. This karma, because it covers ignorance, because it covers your knowledge, being a covering for your knowledge. Tell me, where is it located? What is the adhishtana? What is karma's adhishtana? What is its location? Thus, so Shankara says, Arjuna has this question now. And what is the use of this question? He says, he's keeping in mind when he's asking this question is this. When the adhishtana of an enemy, when the location of an enemy is known, then it can easily be destroyed. You know, that's what he says. So we have to know, you know, where is that karma? Where is it hanging out? And so he says, so we can get it. Okay. So he says, indriyani mano buddhihi asya adhishtanam uchate etaihi vimohayati eshaha jnanam avritya dehinam. He says, what is the adhishtanam, the locus, the location of this indriyani mano buddhihi asya. Asya means of this karma. Asya adhishtanam uchate. The locus of this, location of this karma. Asya kamasya, of this karma, is said to be what? The indriyas, your sense organs, the manas, the mind, and the buddhi. This is where the karma is to be found. So then he says, etaihi vimohayati eshaha jnanam avritya dehinam. So this deludes, this karma, eshaha karma, vimohayati, it deludes, it causes the delusion of the dehinam. So that's your basic sentence. This eshaha kamaha vimohayati causes the delusion of who? Of the dehi, dehinam, 2-1, etaihi, by these, the indriyas, the manas, and the buddhi. They become like the instruments of the kama. This is where the kama is residing, so I'll tell you in a minute. So they become, these the indriyas, the manas, and the buddhi, they become the instruments causing the delusion for the dehi. Jnanam avritya, having covered their knowledge, having covered the knowledge of the Dehi, of the one who indwells the body, it is by these, the Indriya, the Manas, and the Buddhi, the Kama, which is there in that location, in those locations, that is causing this delusion. So this is the idea. What is a carrier? What are the different carriers of the Kama? The first carrier is your sense organs. Because even though it's all really going to be abiding in the mind, but nevertheless, the sense organs are the ones backed by the mind. Right? If your sense organs are doing just sitting there, looking this way or that, they're not seeing anything if the mind isn't using them. You know, if your mind is using them, then they're working. If your sense organs are all open, they work perfectly, but you're off in your imagination, nothing's happening. You're not seeing anything. You're only seeing what the vrittis are doing. That's it. But when the mind is backing the sense organs, then you're walking around, looking around, and this lights up, or this lights up, or this lights up. That's the beginning. There's a little fancy that takes place. But that fancy, you know, fancy means it's just not quite a desire yet, but it's just a little tickle, you know? You know, I like that. That's nice. And you're walking around and these things are just living your life, and these things just start with that little fancy. And so if those sense organs were not there, there'd be no problem. So the sense organs play a role, right? If the sense organs weren't there, there's nothing that's landing on, no problem. But they are there. And the sense organs, if they're giving you this experience of the world, allow for these things to be lit up. And so then, as that little fancy occurs, then in the manas, there's all this kind of thought flow, just simple thought flow that is going along. Well, this thought flow becomes starting to circle around the little fancy, you know? Where your mind is thinking about it in this way and this way. Remember the sari, you know? We're walking along and, that's so beautiful. Beautiful material. So, manas starts working around and you're walking along and could I really afford to buy that or not? It's really nice. I don't know. I don't know if I could. I don't know if we can afford it. Probably can't afford it. That's all manas. Manas means, should I or shouldn't I? Can I or can't I? Will I or won't I? It's just, so that's the manas just kind of circling around, you know? And it grows until that's kama now. Can I have it? Should I have it? You know, kama is growing and becoming more and more tangible. And then it starts going into the buddhi. Then the buddhi starts thinking, I think we can afford this, you know? It's either we cannot afford this, we can afford it. Yeah, but would anybody mind if I bought it? No, nobody will mind. now the kama has reached the buddhi, you know, which is at the, it's kind of now, it's all of its thinking is now in relationship to the kama. Yes, we can get it. This is how we can get it. It's a little bit costly, but I think, you know, that that he will give it to me. He will give me that money, whoever the he is or she is, you know. Will give me that money, it'll work out, no problem, let's do it. That's the buddhi, right? And so this is where the kama is locating itself. The kama rises, you can say, from the unconscious, but where does it land? Well, it comes first, there's a projection that goes out onto, say if you accept it's coming from the unconscious because you're not really in control of the things that you choose to like, it's all past experience. So now say, look at it like this. The kama rises in relationship to something which you see. And now that kama, I want this so that I can be happy, the projection born of ajnanam lands on that, you know? So now my ananda is there. And then the manas starts rotating around this ananda over there, you know? That was given to me because of my sense perception. And then the buddhi gets involved in it. And then finally, I probably act on that. So if that's how it works, if I understand that the kind of mechanics of it, including that the kama this is, I think, really critical for us, that the kama itself is arising from the unconscious. You know, because you can't say, your buddhi can't say, I want to have this desire. I want to fall in love with this person. I want this sorry to be the one I love and not this sorry. You know, it doesn't work like that. It's just these things light up for me. So that's the first thing I have to understand, that I have to catch this desire as it arises, and it usually is triggered by something in my sensory perception. So the desire, the fancy is starting, and I can see also the manas start to rotate around it, you know, and then my buddhi come into play. So on Swamiji will say, you have to catch it right away, as it arises, before it builds up a lot of steam. And catching it means what? It means having it in my hands, so that there's a little bit of space between me, the buddhi, say, and the desire. I need some space. Otherwise, if I don't give it that space, it'll go from the indriyas to the manas, you know, building up the fancy into a desire, to the buddhi's engagement. So I want to catch it before the buddhi is contaminated as though by it, so that I can actually be with that. And then I can decide, because there's nothing wrong with a kama per se. It's just you need to have it in your hands, not you in its hands. That's the main thing. But to do that, I have to have some conscious relationship with it. So as it arises, I can decide, do I want to go with that, or is that good for me? Is this the right time for it? Do I really need that? You know, Swamiji says, if you don't make those decisions, your house will become like a department store. There, I like that. Okay, I like, yeah, I like that too. Like that. So we have a big department store in our house. So you need to have some restriction. I used to have something like that I read a lot, and especially now I don't have the problem because I have a Kindle. But I used to, if I wanted a book, then there was nothing between my desire for the book and the book. There was nothing stopping me. I just went and got the book. I just got the book. And I used to notice that happening, that there was nobody that would come in and say, do you really need another book? Do you need that book? Do you need, do you have enough money to buy yet another book? You know, do you really need it? No, nothing would come at all. I would just buy the book. And I started to realize, wow, you know, there is nobody inside around books. I just go and get the book. So that's it's something that you can experience that. And once you just experience that, you could say, I think I need to have a little bit of a relationship with that desire, you know, before it just totally overwhelms the buddhi, you know. And I remember thinking that at one point, and you know what my response to it was? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Later, I thought, yeah, this is interesting, you know. It kind of does matter. You should have a say. You should have a say. You should be able to say yes or no, rather than having it just overwhelm the buddhi, and the buddhi acts out that desire with no space. So you should think about that. It's a really good exercise, because it's not a comment. And like a lot of desires, you know, they're non-binding desires. Even those were non-binding. It wouldn't really bother me if I didn't have the book. It's just my mind didn't give any space for that no at all. It like the buddhi was gone. So sometimes, you know, doing things, taking some control of your mind, or have that as a discipline you want to set for yourself, to have the control, to just show that you have some space between you and the kama, so that you can actually say yes or no, and you might often say yes. But you have that ability to say yes or no. And so that's what Arjuna is thinking. Tell me where that is, and then I can, you know, I can get some control of it. He says what he says, what Shankara says, because he wants to kill it. He wants to destroy it. But then Shankara takes this word, and he says, actually, you know, this parityaga, let me have the freedom to give it up. Does that mean you have to give it up? Let me have the freedom to do that. That is really a wonderful, wonderful freedom, and it allows me to just keep myself, keep control of myself. So that's what's going on here. That's it. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.